This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Hello, everyone. It's the build-up show, Liverpool FA Cup. Quarter-final action. I genuinely had to pause for a moment there. I was like, is it the quarter-finals? It's because it's been that long since we've been this far into this competition. Anyway, I'm Paul Machin. Dan Clubb and Steve Plunkett join me in the studio for this one. Liverpool, Nottingham Forest. We hate them, apparently. There's a song that we used to sing on the schoolyard that I never really thought about for a number of years. I want to talk about the rivalry, and we'll come to that in a little bit. But firstly, about this game, Steve, I think this is a big turning point in Liverpool's season, which sounds weird because obviously we've progressed through the Champions League, we've closed the gap on Man City in the Premier League, already won the League Cup. I think this is potentially the last game where the world wants us to lose. And I think if we can get beyond that and get into the semis, and obviously the Champions League draw will be a big factor in this as well, but I wonder if there's a groundswell of people who don't pathologically hate Liverpool who might start to get behind everything that we're doing. But make no mistake, the underdog story, the FA Cup, it's on domestic television. They'll be like pigs and shit, hoping that Liverpool absolutely do something stupid and cock this up.
Yeah, I agree with you. They might do it quietly, but I think some of the world will start going, hang on a minute, we might witness a quadruple. I've said it, I really didn't want to, but there you go. The Q word is a bit scary at the moment. And also the club themselves, Liverpool themselves, they get through a quarter-final. When you get to the semi-finals, shit gets real.
Yeah.
And you'd absolutely have to take it really seriously. You know, there'll be a lot of rotation, which I'm sure we'll get to, but get to a semi-final, and it's a game-changer, and it's another quantum leap towards loads of silver pots at the end of the season. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think the football purists will start to think, hang on a minute, we would be witnessing something that we thought we might never see.
Yeah, that's it. And look, it's the FA Cup, isn't it? Dan, so you get this. They just love it. The FA Cup is all about the wheel out of every bit of old footage, every Nottingham Forest legend that ever was from back in the day. There'll be Brian Clough memoriams up and down the country. And go, oh, bloody hell, remember him. Remember Nottingham Forest. And there will be that thing of, again, that tinge of nostalgia. And again, they just love that whole underdog thing, which the FA Cup seems born for.
Yeah.
And the commentary will all be geared towards, oh, can they do something? Can they do something? And this makes that. And look, we'll talk about the quality of Forest, because I think that's a considerable factor in this. But yeah, that's something that Liverpool are almost fighting against. Is everyone loves, that's what the thing people love most about the FA Cup. So we do have to safeguard against the story is that Liverpool's massive season comes crumbling down against the weakest opponent they're probably going to have to face.
Yeah, there is obviously all them sort of factors to it. commentators rooting for teams against Liverpool is not something we're particularly adverse to, is
yeah,
it?
You know yeah,
I mean, if we're going to be honest. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, most people want Liverpool to lose the coin toss at the start of the game, let alone the actual football match. So, yeah, I actually think it's something that Klopp half enjoys, to be honest with you. I think he quite enjoys creating that siege mentality within the squad.
Yeah.
And I think we thrive upon it. But you're dead right. This is that one real big banana skin left in it. Because whatever happens from here on out happens. And if we go out of the Champions League at some stage, it's going to be a pretty high quality opponent. Yeah. If we happen to drop points in the Premier League, which I'm not entirely sure we will, it's going to be against somebody very good. This is the one left whereby you'd say we should prevail here.
Yeah.
But you're right, everything in the build-up, they're going to talk about the old rivalry that used to exist. They're going to talk about how good Nottingham Forest used to be. So in many ways, the cards are stacked against us, but the odds certainly aren't because we are quality.
I think that's a really good way to look at it, to be honest. And just, let's just look back at Forest and how they kind of, they've kind of made their way so far. Goes all the way back to the third round and that Arsenal game. They beat Arsenal 1-0, staying the much the better side in that game. And I think that sort of kick-started this. There's a lot of warm and fuzzies around Forest. They were much better against Arsenal, without a doubt. They then get into the next round. They then knock out Leicester comfortably, 4-1, knocking Leicester out. And a bit less, I mean, it draws the eye a bit less, but obviously getting past Huddersfield 2-1, a bit of a tighter one in the fifth round. They're not to be sniffed at. My hope is because they're on the sort of fringes of the playoff places, there is a sense of like, this is a big free hit. They played a midweek game against QPR as well. So, you know, if there's a bit of like, even if they're a good championship side, they're coming to Liverpool with it. They're in the cycle. They're in the midweek weekend cycle. They're playing a lot of football. You might get a big old push out of them with the home crowd and all that, which we need to be wary of. But you'd hope that, no, even depending on what Liverpool do in terms of their 11, we should have enough in the tank, and obviously the additional quality as well.
There's another way to look at that. We will rotate. If I'm the manager of Nottingham Forest, I'm saying to the players, go and prove to yourself that you're on the fringes of the playoffs. If you can get to the Premier League, go and prove to yourself you belong on the same football pitch as these lads.
Yeah.
And go and prove to the fans that we belong on the same football pitch as these lads. So in that regard, it's all positive for Forest.
Yeah,
they're in a no-lose situation at all.
Yeah.
And all the pressure's on us, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And their season's shaping up really nicely. And the good thing is they've got bigger fish to fry, and that's getting out of the Championship. You know, that's something. And I've always said this, I always feel like Forest, and it's just, it's always the area you grew up in. It's a social experiment I'd love to conduct of name your Premier League 20. Name the clubs that you think are the most Premier League teams. And honestly, Nottingham Forest are instinctively in it for me. Like Sheffield Wednesday are in it for me. There's weird clubs in there because of me growing up in the 90s. But as I say that, they've got the 36 games played. They've got a game in hand, between one and two games in hand of all the teams above them. 58 points in the Championship so far. Middlesbrough above them, 59. QPR, which again, they got the win against midweek, which is big, 59. Luton above that on 60. And then Blackburn on 61. Huddersfield on 63. But again, they've got two games in hand over those teams. This could be the thing. And we see this a lot, actually, in Liverpool in cup competitions, Steve. We play a lot of these kind of teams who are doing okay. Think back to the League Cup finals against Cardiff. We're having a good season at that point. Birmingham, we're having a good season back in 2001. I don't expect this to be an absolute walk in the park because, again, they've got a good thing going.
Absolutely, and they changed their manager not so long ago, and they have a major new manager bounce, and he's done really good things with them.
It's Steve Cooper, isn't he? He's got Liverpool connection.
Used to be under-23 manager at Liverpool, yeah.
He's doing a really good job, and as I said before, you know, it's an opportunity for them to go and enjoy it, because that what you just put on screen there and showed everyone is the bread and butter. Let's get the games in hand won, let's get ourselves into the playoffs and try and do it that way. And I think the front two in the Championship are gone, so it's the playoffs for the rest of them. This is a nice sideshow. You've got Liverpool coming. Everyone knows who Liverpool are. You know, the history between the two sides goes back to the 70s, 80s. There's a lot of heritage in this, a lot of football heritage in this fixture. I'm sure we'll touch on that. But
absolutely.
A great opportunity for them to enjoy themselves against arguably the best club side in the world right now.
And it's funny because that pedigree and the heritage stuff counts. You've got to be good first and foremost, you know what I mean? Like, so pedigree and heritage hasn't helped Nottingham Forest at any point in the last 20 years.
Not really.
But when you've got something going for you, it can help. And I think that's one of the reasons that's helped them get through so far. They've obviously got a good identity. They've got a decent quite a crop of players, good manager, and that's helping them. But that is when you come face to face, nose to nose, with a club with bigger heritage and all the additional quality. I want to know your thoughts, Dana. What are Forest to you? What's your knowledge, memories, feelings on Nottingham Forest?
Truth be known, I'm not particularly au fait with the rivalry, I must admit, because I was born in 1991. And I remember Nottingham Forest being in the Premier League and certainly being a big football club. There's absolutely no two ways about that. But in terms of the rivalry, it's only sort of learnt knowledge of Liverpool's history and Nottingham Forest history. Obviously, that rivalry even comes into my way of thinking. But in terms of Forest particularly, I mean, European Cup winners, consecutively, twice. So, I mean, what more can you say? That's a seriously big football club right there. And obviously, Steve references how they're getting on at the moment. And if they can get back in the Premier League, then happy days, because made up for Steve Cooper for a kickoff. But also, they're playing good football right now. And they've got a couple of talented players. That's Jed Spence, Brennan Johnson. We've got to beware. But in terms of a football club, very big, but not quite us.
Yeah, they fall into that category. And Villa are a bit of this as well, aren't they, Steve? Where, first of all, they've won a European Cup, which matters. And we make a big deal about this. And there's football clubs that were purported to be much bigger and more important who haven't achieved that feat. We beat one of them last night. You know, I was born in 83. So I caught the tail end. And obviously, you think about building up to Hillsborough and that kind of stuff. And obviously, Liverpool Forest was still a big game of football by the end of the '80s. But I remember them more as a Premier League team, but like the tail end where they were no threat, they were not going to challenge for titles. They were a capable Premier League quality side who you knew, and they carried a reputation. But they were the Stan Collymore, Steve Stone, Nottingham Forest team who eventually ended up with neither of those players, and they got a bit asset stripped, and then that was the end of Forest. But when you go, you don't have to go too far back, and like they were in one of Forest were very much one of those teams in regards to the Liverpool rivalry, the way that Javier is. So like it's Chelsea and United in the mid noughties, it's Man United and Arsenal in the, it's Liverpool and Man United in a spell, it's Liverpool and Everton in the mid 80s, Liverpool Arsenal toward the end of the 80s, etc. Then winning European Cups at that early 80s and that Liverpool side, there was a great rivalry between the two.
Massive.
Teams.
And they were a real threat to our crown as the kings of Europe, the kings of English football. I think what happened with them was the lure of continental football. A couple of their players succumbed to that, notably Trevor Francis. And that undermined them massively in the same way that Gary Lineker and Trevor Steve and all those guys leaving Everton did the same to them.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it, in sort of late 70s, early 80s, Nottingham Forest were primed to go head-to-head with Liverpool season in, season out. They had a mercurial manager who was really good at giving players right hooks 1 minute and getting the best out of them the next minute. So that heritage goes back a long, long way. We won the European Cup. The following season, they put us out. So how good they were.
Yeah.
And they were not to be sniffed at. They were a really good side. They had John Robertson, players like that. It was superb. So it's going to be euphoric for them. It's like a revisiting the glory days, the halcyon days of European Cups for Nottingham Forest. And that alone will give them an extra 10%, and that's the worry for me.
I equated it. So I did an interview. I was interviewed by Dan Taylor, the Athletic, in the week, and I equated it a bit too when we met Flamengo in the Club World Cup. And they've got this, like, they remember. They remember us. Oh, they remember Liverpool. And they've had this little thing where they've been stewing on that
for a very long time.
Yeah. And I get the sense of that from Forrest is that this, I mean, because of our fan base, there's a massive amount of our fan base who haven't really thought about Forrest, because you don't. But of course, Forrest will be aware of Liverpool, because you can't not be aware of Liverpool, because they've been on the big stage of football and Champions League and finals and what have you. And it's one of those weird rivalries where it's not really existed in Liverpool fans' minds for a while.
Either. It's not a toxic rivalry.
But it'd be interesting to see, because I don't know how Nottingham Forest really feel about us because, you know, there's been so much distance and space.
Yeah, I think the generation of Nottingham Forest fans now would have no feelings about Liverpool, because we've lived in two separate worlds for the last 20-odd years. Yeah. That's the reality of it. People sort of my age and your dad's age and people like that remember Nottingham Forest vividly, and the relationship between the two clubs wasn't toxic. It was like, we're going to need to dig deep here because they're coming. And then suddenly they just drifted away. And then as you came into football and started watching football as they were coming to the end of their Premier League tenure, if you like.
Yeah.
And they've had some difficult times. So it'd be a great occasion for them to recall all of those nights when they really were a good side. But you know, what's their priority? What will they actually look to achieve on the day? Yeah,
no, absolutely. It's a fascinating one. There's something that you just like about these. You know, again, having a little bit of that the heritage, the history that we mentioned adds a little bit of spice to it. It just means, again, you know, they will be ramping it up to try and oversell the whole giant killing thing. But at least all like the pre-match packages will be good, because to be fair, even when Forest were at their best, Liverpool were even better.
Yeah.
You know, so there's we're going to see a lot of great.
And you're right,
moments.
The spectre of Brian Clough. An image of Brian Clough presiding over the club badges is being portrayed all over Nottingham right now and elevating people's expectations. So, yeah, it'd be an interesting game.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, we've got a trivia question before the break, and that is, and I'm sure that you know, you'll see this one mentioned a lot, but name our 11 the last time we played Nottingham Forest. Back with the answer after the break.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. Hopefully you are enjoying this podcast. Just want to let you guys know, if you want even more Redmen TV goodness in your ears, every single show that we produce over on our subscription service, Redmen Plus, also comes in podcast format. So you can get all of our amazing content on the go. Hopefully you enjoyed that one, and hopefully you enjoyed the rest of the show.
Right, the question was, name Liverpool starting 11 the last time we played Nottingham Forest. It was all the way back on the 5th of April in 1999. So, yeah, 8, as we've just established.
Yes, I was 8. Yeah, I was 8 at the time. Yeah.
How old have you been?
18.
Nice. In your pomp? In your prime?
In all my glory.
Yeah. Tearing it up, he was, he told us. You know, tearing it up. Yeah.
Yeah, it was all about playing football then.
Yeah. Right, okay. A couple of people in the comments have had some good little guesses on this one. But I'd be astonished if anyone's got it all the way right. Steve, you were trying to work it out in the break.
I got 9, didn't I?
Okay.
So James in goal, song right back. Partnership of Matteo and Carragher.
Matteo and Carragher.
Staunton on the left.
Steve Staunton left back.
Redknapp.
Yep.
Ince.
Yep.
Owen.
Yep.
And I had another midfielder. McManaman, yeah. So there's two. I'm missing the centre.
One more midfielder and one more forward.
And the forward thing's escaping me at the minute.
Okay.
And brain fart over that one.
Left midfield.
Berger.
Patrick Berger.
So I've got 10.
And the centre forward partner in 1999. Robbie Fowler.
Yeah.
Just for shits and giggles, the substitutes that day were Brad Friedel, Stiging and Bjornaby. Oh, I'm shocked we're still
in 99.
Oyvind Leonhardsen, Steven Gerrard.
The man with wristbands. Oyvind Leonhardsen.
Yeah. Oyvind Leonhardsen, who gave me my love of putting lines through O's. became genuinely obsessed with doing that in school books in the years
still
around.
Do it now.
Yeah, honestly, like it's an obsession. Stephen Gerrard and Karl-Heinz Riedler. Yeah, goals came from Jamie Redknapp and Michael Owen in the 2-2 draw. Doogie Friedman, better known, I think, probably for his Crystal Palace time.
Yeah.
And Pierre Van Hooijdonk with a 90th minute equaliser for them. Out of interest, their team, Mark Crosley, Mathieu Louis-Jean, Thierry Bonnelaire, Carlton Palmer, Richard Gough, who I'd forgotten played for them. You know, he played for Everton when he was like 40, didn't he, in the back end of his career. And obviously Rangers. Christian Edwards, Andy Johnson, Doogie Friedman, Pierre Van Hooijdonk, Marlon Harewood.
Oh, wow.
Must have been
young then, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of substitutes, Neil Shipperley came on as well, who was, again, most people watch this will have no idea who Neil Shipperley was, but he stood off for me because in the 90 Premier League 94 sticker book, they had like 2 pages dedicated to the rising stars, and he was like, Neil Shipperley's going to be one to watch out for.
Some knockers on him there, didn't
he? Yeah, he played for Palace as well, didn't he?
I think Alan Rogers was a scouser as well.
Oh, there you go. And opposition manager?
Oh, God, now you're asking.
Is he well known?
Very well known. Scouser as well. Massive knobhead. Massive racist. Former Man United manager.
Scouser?
Ron Atkinson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's actually his bio on Wikipedia.
I actually feel glad I've forgotten him. That's what...
That's his bio on Wikipedia.
Massive top heads, massive racist.
Yeah, but you can go in and change someone's bio on Wikipedia.
It will be now. If it wasn't before, it will be now. Yeah.
What did you say, Paul?
Yeah, no, genuinely. Right, Saz. Yeah, if you got all that right, you're an absolute genius. We had some people say out in there. Simon Cook had shouted for Oncho McAteer. Unfortunately, not. But yeah, there you go. Right, Rachel Todd said I was 13. You were 39 at the time. Blimey! So you must remember Forrest very, very vividly for being very good. Yes, sounds. Let me just catch up with where we're up to. Yes, the Liverpool team. But I've got all natted about Forrest now. I'm not sure quite what the 11's going to be, and we'll work our way up to it. But Dan, first and foremost, there's no way that there's not a good deal of rotation from the game against Arsenal.
No, there isn't, and for lots of reasons, really, and not really a sort of stereotypical ones when it comes to Liverpool in the FA Cup, because usually it's a case of, okay, this is the cup, let's rotate. This is more of a case of there's players there that need and deserve minutes. Yes. Probably deserve being the operative word in that, actually, because we spoke earlier on the last word about how your likes of Keita.
The final word, but that's fine.
Final, sorry, Brandon, yeah, my bad, yeah.
Brandon, but, well done.
How Keita hasn't had a kick, there you're saying. He really, you know, probably has earned a start in that game. So there's a lot of players knocking around. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain has won. Harvey Elliott's not been involved recently. Curtis Jones gets the final few minutes. So, yeah, he probably, there is going to be rotation, but purely because we've got the squad to do it now, as opposed to let's just do it.
I think there's the interesting sort of question to get us into this, really. I mean, there's things we don't know at the moment today. So Milner and Kostas both missed out this week from the squads due to illness. Now, that wasn't specified at the time. Obviously, we all just presume every illness is COVID at this point, which means that if it is, there's a chance they'll be back, but it's about whether they've trained or not. That's the only real concern. It's actually quite a big concern for what we're doing, because you've got Nico Williams out on loan. The other options, therefore, for fullback is you could put Gomez in at right back, but really you probably want to have a conversation about Gomez at centre half for this game. And then your left back is Owen Beck, and your right back's Conor Bradley. Beyond that, realistically,
And Forrest are physical, and that worries me.
And they're the kind of changes at this stage when it matters. I think if you draw Forrest in the third round, I think he's less arsed.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a quarterfinals. You've got a place at Wembley to play for. You're two games away from lifting a trophy. He'll be hoping, and then it boils down to, if they're not available, you've kind of got to ask Robbo and or Trent to go again, really.
And rightly so.
Yeah.
I think genuinely rightly so. We talked about get over this hurdle, and then suddenly it's like you're thinking about the trophy the day we go to try to win the trophy. You've got the semi-final, so you don't compromise your team at this stage. You're quite right, the third round reference is a really good one. Mm. I think at this stage it would be awful to get to a quarter-final against, this, no disrespect to Nottingham Forest, against a side that for all intents and purposes we should be beating.
Yeah.
We go and undercook the team and we end up coming away from there on the wrong end of a result. And then we spend the next couple of weeks thinking, what if? We don't need any what ifs at this stage in our season. We need, that one's done. We smash that one onto the next one.
Yeah.
Put them to bed as quickly as we can so we can focus on the next one.
Yeah. The only thing, I've just had a quick look at this just to corroborate this, but because obviously Robbo is the kind of lad who plays a lot of football. Mm-hmm. A Scotland game against Ukraine has been postponed, so they only got the one game in the international.
Feasible break. Then, isn't it?
So that makes it a little easier, doesn't it, Dan? Because Robbo, as the Scotland captain's going to play, and he's going to play, and he's going to play, and he's going to play, and we're going to have to pick up the pieces of whatever gets returned to us. I don't know what Trent's status is with the England squad. They've got a couple of friendly games, to come. So there's more flexibility around that, of course. But you can't imagine a world where Trent would go and play 180 minutes in two games, because Southgate's just a weirdo in that regard, isn't he? So he'll obviously have his best mate, Reece James, getting minutes or whatever. So it's not ideal, but it's maybe not quite as bad as it could have been in that regard.
No, that's it. It's not quite as problematic, is it? It gives us that little bit of leeway, because both fullbacks probably aren't going to play what they would normally play in sort of normal circumstances. And if there was a manager who knew how to use Trent like Jurgen Klopp does. But I think For me, the ideal scenario would still be Milner and Tsimikas, mm-hmm. and particularly Tsimikas, because I think as much as we'd like to rest Robertson, and he certainly deserves a rest, and it would be really beneficial to do so moving forward, Tsimikas also deserves those minutes.
Yes.
You know, because I think he's been really good when called upon this season. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's let anybody down.
Well, we're not far removed from, we put a poll out ahead of a game saying, who do you want at left back? And it was a 50-50 split.
And there you go. Yeah. And that's probably fair enough, because every time he has been coming to the side, he's been outstanding. And credit should go to Robertson in many ways for the fact that he had that little break out the side. I think he had an ankle injury, didn't he, earlier in the season? And he come back and he went, I'm not having that. I'm going up gears. And he has done. But we shouldn't forget Tsimikas, and he's one of them players where you think, God, he's so good, he's so good. He shouldn't be really sitting on the bench for us. So every opportunity we get, and this is one, he almost has to play. And no disrespect to Bradley and Beck, when I've been weighing this up in my head, I don't really want to see them two on Sunday.
I think you can get away with one if you have to. And it's probably Bradley because he's had a bit more experience.
Yeah.
But you need, if you're going to do that, then you tell him Robertson that he's defo playing, and you need to have it. You might need to go stronger, and it might facilitate. It might mean you have to go stronger at centre half than you want to do because I don't think you don't want to run any risks really. I am just looking on PremierInjuries.com. They've got Milner and Tsimikas both rated as 50-50. Whether they'll be available for this one, both. With viruses. So
I suppose the other way to look at it, Paul, is if it is Robertson, and again, you don't ever look down on your opposition, Tsimikas could quite easily come in against Watford and Robertson gets his break there. So so there are permutations which allow us to give him a rest.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just that it's just Trent as much as anything else. You need to just not play Trent Alexander-Arnold in this game because I don't see a game of football coming up.
No.
Because that's the thing, because I agree on the Kostas thing. I think we'll see it now. I don't think we'll see a lot of Tsimikas between now and the end of the season because we're going to hit. It's going to be, you've got to
full
win every
tilt,
game.
Isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And Robbo made that point post match, didn't he? About it's just a straight sprint to the end of the season once you get back from the internationals. So I think Klopp will naturally rely on the ones he knows he can rely on. So Salah will play every game. But beyond this, I would imagine, and same will go for Robertson and Van Dijk and Alisson Becker and so on and so forth.
This could be the last chance we get to almost rotate this side quite heavily this season, unless we get like a ridiculous lead in the first leg of Champions League semi-final.
Yes.
Then we might be able to. But aside from that, realistically, this is the one final opportunity we've got to give some people some well-earned rest.
Yeah. And then you're looking at it in terms of it's subs, isn't it? And we've got that going for us in this with the five subs thing. But I totally agree on that one. I guess it leads us into the question then: who do we think is nailed on to play this game? Because I think both Milner and Kostas would be nailed on if they were fit, but who else falls into that category?
So if they're fit, they're right and left back straight away.
Yeah.
Kelleher
will play.
We think Kelleher will play because obviously, I'll get the team up from Norwich in the last round. It was Alisson in goal. It was Milner, Konate, Gomez, Tsimikas.
Yeah.
It was Ox, Henderson, Jones, and then it was Taki Minamino, Divock Origi, and Diogo Jota.
You're back five on that. I think there is probably about five you go with against Forest.
So no,
Alisson.
With Kelleher in goal.
Because I think the Kelleher not playing that one, that was straight after the final.
Yeah,
wasn't
still drunk.
I think I still think there was almost a high he wanted to sort of bring him down from that. That's how it felt, because I honestly thought Kelleher was a shoe-in for that game, but obviously Klopp knows better than all of us on many aspects. But that just felt to me like he thought, okay, I'll just bring him down just ever so slightly from what's just happened.
And the other thing as well, that I don't think he likes to leave Alisson out for back-to-back games because he needs to play to keep himself in momentum. We actually saw this with the first leg of the League Cup against Arsenal.
Yeah.
Alisson plays that even though Klopp had previously stated it was Kelleher's competition.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd had the FA Cup prior to that, and Alisson had had... he'd had COVID as well, hadn't he, in the lead up to that, so he needed to get back in and playing. So there's a chance that I would imagine Kelleher will come in for this because you just want to, he's earned that right, and you want to keep him ticking over. But I'm sure there'll be people watching this and listening to this going, oh God, no, just, you know, because we just want the stability of putting the best keeper out. But
we've said this before, Paul, if for some reason, touch wood, Alisson wasn't available between now and the end of the season, nobody in this conversation would be overly concerned about putting Kelleher in because he's a more than able deputy.
Yes.
So we shouldn't have any concerns about playing him in a FA Cup game.
It's similar to the conversation pre the final, isn't it? whereby we all kind of knew it was going to be Kelleher, but there was those sort of nagging doubts whereby you see how well and how outstanding Alisson is and you think, maybe he should go to Alisson. But like you say, Kelleher's just, he's also brilliant. Konaté?
Yeah. So we're thinking, so Kelleher we feel is nailed on. We're happy to nail our clubs to the mast on that. The fullbacks, any midfielders that you think they've just got to play football? Because for me, it's Oxlade-Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. And without actually thinking about who else goes in the midfield, he's just fallen down the pecking order again.
I'm not putting him in.
Really?
I'm having Henderson at six. Okay. Because Henderson needs that intensity of playing games. We spoke about it in the final word about Matic being as good as he is because he's playing every week, once, twice, three times a week. My view would be you go with Jones on the left and then one from Cater and Elliott on the right.
Interesting.
I really want to see Elliott. I really want to see Elliott.
And again, he's another one. He's not been even making the Matic squad.
Yeah, and Elliott and Oxlade-Chamberlain probably the toss-up for me, and I'd fall on the side of Elliott. And Keita on the left-hand side of that three is perfect. There's an argument to say I'd go Joe Gomez at right-back, which I know is something you weren't particularly sure about, just to get Milner into the six, because I actually think we could do with resting Henderson and Fabinho here.
And that's another interesting conundrum, because I don't disagree necessarily with the Hendo at six thing. Again, we've seen it. That's how we rest and rotate Fabinho.
Yes.
Is that Henderson comes in, and then what we'll do is we'll probably either bring Fabinho on for the last half an hour, or maybe you bring Morton on if the game's done and dusted.
Yeah.
But I don't see a world where Tyler Morton starts this game. Yeah. And in another world, you'd be starting Milner in the six, I think.
That's
but
what I mean.
But you need Milner to play fullback.
That
so
worries me, because Milner's not great on the stretch.
No, he's not. He's not. But more just for how you utilise
your
squad.
Game, Milner gets his minutes and he's more effective in the right-back position for me than sitting in a six when Forest start like an house on fire because the fans are behind them and they've all the euphoria of the build-up, and then they're asking questions and Milner turning and running towards his own goal. And I'm not knocking him. The guy's 36, 37 years old, and Father Time catches up with everybody. And from right-back, he can still have a massive influence on the game.
Yeah.
And there's nobody behind him. So the whole game's in front of him.
Oh, it's an interesting shout. Does Diogo Jota need to start this game?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
he's got Gomez syndrome when he's after some games to get back match sharpness, hasn't he?
I think the goal will have helped immeasurably, but he looks, and there's a variety of contributing factors. I mean, like just injury, and then you've got, obviously we're trying to get Diaz up to speed. I think we're trying to manage Mane psychologically as well. I think we're being very careful not to ruin Sadio Mane.
Yeah.
And obviously Salah. So you're fighting a losing battle if you think you're going to, you know, usurp him off the team, really. So yeah, I agree. But then we're then back in that situation of if we want to have Divock Origi prime for Divock Origi moments at some point during the season, Taki Minamino deserves to play this game.
So does Bobby.
So does Bobby Firmino.
I can't get either of them in there in terms of Origi and Minamino. I just can't, and I completely agree with you. I would say they deserve to play both of them, but there's quite a few players who'd probably deserve. Can't get them in.
I'd have Jota, Bobby and Minamino.
It's an interesting shout. Well, we're going to work our way to what we think will be an 11, because it's tricky, because I think that we're past the point of it picks itself, because it's all the lads who aren't playing, or there's all the lads, or you've got a bunch of kids who you know are going to play. You know, we're not going to see Kay Gordon start this game. You know, we might be on the bench, but like there's a bunch of lads there who would have figured in the early rounds this stuff that are not now, because we're there now. And I think we're going to do what City do in this kind of situation. We're going to take it very, very seriously, and you'll see 9 or 10 senior footballers, probably, up and down the sort of pecking order. But yeah, we'll...
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Jay Pearson done an absolutely stellar job on that. That is streaming from Monday. So if you're wondering how you're going to get through the international break, don't worry. We've got you covered on Redmen Plus. That's brand new content. There's also been some great documentaries going out there in the last couple of months. There's one on the craftsman of the cop, a fellow who literally creates banners that go on to become part of the fabric of this football club. Going back, there's the 50 greatest Liverpool players of the Premier League era. There's a 3-episode series on Jordan Henderson's 10 years at Liverpool, with some incredible contributors, just loads and all the bonus extra shows that we do in video and podcast form as well. Head to the redmentv.com and get involved with all of that. I don't know if you've got onto it, but Liverpool are in the hunt for 4 trophies this season, so plenty of reason to sign up. Right, sound, go on then, Steve, what's your 11 for this game?
Callaghan goal.
Yes,
if the two lads that we've spoken about are fit, Milner and Costas, right and left back respectively.
Mm-hmm.
Gomez and Konate in centre defence.
Yep.
Henderson in the 6, because I do think he needs to play games because he draws from the intensity of frequent games.
Mm-hmm.
Jones on the left. I can't decide between Naby and Elliot on the right. That's a flip of a coin for
You're
me.
You're going to have to.
I'm going to go with Elliot because he needs a game.
Okay.
Now you forced me to.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go Jota on the left, I'm going to go Bobby in the centre, and I'm going to go Taki on the right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, slightly different for me, but I had no issue whatsoever with that lineup. But for me, it'd be Kelleher, obviously, in goal. I would go Gomez at right back, and I'd go Tsimikas left back. I'd go Konate and Van Dijk sitting off. I get the fact he probably does need a rest and certainly deserve a rest. 5 subs in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So there's options there. And I want Milner at 6 because I honestly believe that Henderson and Fabinho should get that rest. I think this is a good opportunity to do it and probably one of the last remaining ones. And then Elliot on the right-hand side, Keita on the left-hand side, and then Jota on the right-hand side of the attack, Bobby in the middle, Diaz on the left.
Ooh. Yeah, it's a real struggle for me in terms of how you put these lads out. Because it's the midfield thing that I think it's
really hard.
Because Oxlade-Chamberlain and Harvey Elliott need to play a game because they're not going to be playing international football over the break. And then all of a sudden, you could be up like a month before without you playing any real reasonable amount of minutes. Curtis Jones, obviously coming off the bench, is normally a good indicator that he'll probably come into that team. It's a thing we often see, isn't it? You get the last couple of minutes and it's just prime, and you come into the next, into the next one. But I agree. I think it'll be Hendo in the 6. I think we'll just ask him to do that because he's the second choice, and I think you then. Shift him out, how the game, depending on how the game goes. God.
There's no right or wrong answer, is there?
No, but it's who best fits, because then you look at that left side of the midfield. Ox has done a bit of it and he's been okay. Mm. You're not going to put Harvey Elliott on the left, so if you're going to play Harvey Elliott, it's going to be on the right of the 3, and I think you probably do put Harvey in because it's a championship team. He's played against them, you know, for Blackburn last season, mm-hmm. so he'll have a decent handle on them, and it's a good opportunity for him to reprove himself and jumpstart his season a little bit. I'd be a little concerned for Ox if he doesn't start, but Curtis, I think, is a better fit on that side. So yeah, maybe definitely. Curtis Jones in midfield. I think Bobby needs the minutes. I don't know that he'll go away with Brazil. If he's not going away with Brazil, I think I start him. If he is going away with Brazil, I maybe keep him out. And then you're looking. So I'll go Bobby. I'll go Jota from the left, Taki from the right.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced. I don't even know who's doing the starting 11 prediction.
I wonder what you did 10 years ago when we had 11 players for 11 positions. These shows must have been quite short before you could sit down and look at all the
honestly
25 but players who all deserve to play.
10 months ago, by the way, let alone 10 years.
But we waited, but to the point, A, we weren't getting this far in competitions, but you were starting to think about kids. And again, we're in a position where we don't need to prioritise. We think about when we've gotten this far in the FA Cup previously, like under Kenny example, it's like, well, your whole season's now on the FA Cup because the Champions League places were out of touch by this sort of point. Then what you think under Brendan, similar, it was an all or nothing kind of situation by that point. So it's weird that we're at a quarterfinals playing for a place in the semis and we're still treating this like, put out who ask the sports scientists to pick the team, not like, you know, like the tacticians.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
I think Diaz needs a rest.
Lachille with the Super Chat here saying, mate, you called that game last night to be a bit like Inter Milan. It quite literally couldn't be more reminiscent. Yeah, it was that, you know, that game. There's a lot of teams coming up against Liverpool now whose mission is, we're going to prove that we can go toe-to-toe with Liverpool, and they just dedicate all of their energies towards not getting blown away. And then Liverpool just like, it's a bit like, you know, we've got Superman tied up in these chains, and he's like, oh, flex, and the chains come flying off. And that's kind of a little bit what Liverpool have been like.
Exactly what I said on this morning show.
Really?
Honestly, I didn't, obviously I was there last night, I've not heard what you said at all, but yeah, it's exactly the same reference. It's strange that.
Great man's thing. That's what it is. I asked our club legends in the Discord what they thought the front three would be. We had some suggestions come back. Jith says Taki, Bobby, Jota. Same from Scott T, saying give the boys more minutes. Origi's just unlucky with the quality of our squad here. Jith follows up with that, which I think is absolutely fair there, to be fair. Josh Horse is Taki, Divock and Mo. Wow. Max, I really don't feel like we'll see Mohamed Salah in this one. But I mean, he's one. We talked about this in the build-up to Arsenal. Him and Sadio have got those crunch World Cup qualifying games against each other. Two games, straight shootout for Qatar. I kind of want to allow them that to some extent. Where you want to say, look, you have this weekend off. You've put in a great shift. We'll protect you a little bit, but also we know you want to go and give your absolute all for those games. So, yeah, we won't stand in your way. We can't influence that. So go. We'll give you that. We'll give you the whole game. I wouldn't just even have them on the bench.
I'd plan B them.
Yeah, but really, exactly. I'd have them no. I would just have them nowhere.
One of them.
This squad. I don't see the point.
Honestly, yeah.
But because to let's just say we've got a world where
he's got a point.
We've got, you know, let's say we go Bobby, Jota, Taki. You've got Diaz. And we've got Origi there as
you've got five forwards and
Ox are playing the front line. Gordon, as you referenced earlier.
Okay, good. Or Harvey Elliott again. I presume he will have played right mid, you know, or right wing.
Oh, he did all last year. And also on that, just to say, like that international game you talk about, the Senegal Egypt one, got even more riding on it given what went on in January. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's a real big one. That now, if it wasn't anyway.
Yeah, no, I completely agree on. So it's a fascinating balance that we're going to have to strike here, but we've never been in a better position to strike it, to be perfectly honest. So, yeah, let's have another look then at the FA Cup games that are going to be going on, the other quarterfinals. The 5:15 kickoff on Saturday, Middlesbrough host Chelsea. It will not be paid behind closed doors, I would imagine.
That was appalling.
Laughable.
Shocking, that, isn't it? Like, yeah, and look, to be fair, just to play devil's advocate, which I loathe, but like, you don't shoot, you don't score. You know what I mean? True, like, what if they say yes? What if Middlesbrough go, yes, actually, Chelsea, we will acquiesce to your ridiculous demand of sporting integrity.
Yeah. I love the fact that the very next day, Middlesbrough released 3,000 more tickets. I think that was amazing.
Yeah.
That's like...
He was very steadfast, wasn't he, the chairman? He was very much like, like we all were as fans of other clubs. Like, are you messing? Like, there's a room here to be read, and you've just looked somewhere else.
Yeah,
terrible. And just to say on that, I think their Champions League home game is behind closed
yeah,
doors.
Yeah, they've got no fans.
Which is a serious kick in the teeth for them, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely it is. So that's fascinating.
Fault, is it? You know what I mean?
Look, you'd imagine it, because Chelsea, the thing that you'll find, and it's something in Chelsea's DNA, and it was put there by Mourinho, of like the siege mentality thing, and their fans have got a bit of that, you don't like us, we don't care, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Tuchel's job there is to kind of condense them down, harden them, and go, right, everyone, the world's against us, literally, even though it's nonsense. We've got to just get through this, and they should have the quality. Obviously, Middlesbrough, similar to Forest, they're having a great little resurgence.
He's done that so far, hasn't he, Tuchel, in fairness to him? When this all sort of started, you thought this could go one or two ways for Chelsea on the pitch. They could either capitulate and have a really poor run in, or that siege mentality you talk about. And fair dues, they've done that so far.
And look, the cups are the cups. Mm. They're going to finish third in the league. They are in with a chance of lifting silverware, and he's proved himself to be reasonably adept at that so far. So, look, Middlesbrough will never have a better chance of knocking Chelsea out of the FA Cup than having a capacity, whatever the hell the BT Cellnet Riverside Stadium is called these days.
That'll do.
Yeah. Fingers crossed for Butter in that regard. Palace Everton.
They're in a mess, aren't they?
Everton are in big trouble, but anyone getting like Wigan vibes from Everton here?
For a long time, actually.
Do you know Everton have taken 9 from the last 60 points?
Yeah.
Scary.
That's horrendous.
Scary, yeah.
I was listening to a podcast on Monday morning, and they were talking about how if you extrapolated they've had the equivalent of 9 from points from half a season. Mm-hmm. So they're on they're on for an 18
pro rata.
Basically an 18 Fulham, point
full
season.
Blood Fulham job, isn't it?
What was that season derby? Was it 12? What did they get relegated with?
12 or 14?
12, I think, was the record. Wasn't
and obviously so. they've got more points than that from the start of the season. Yes. But their last equivalent of half a season is horrendous.
On that game, Everton, depending on what happens obviously later on tonight with Newcastle again, their priorities, similar to Nottingham Forest, could be elsewhere. They could have their eye on staying up in the Premier League, not FA Cup glory.
It's one of the rare situations that it'd be interesting to see how the game goes with Forest, because we were having the debate show the other week about, and we put a clip of this out on YouTube as well, about do we want Everton to get relegated? And one of my counter arguments to it was, well, who are you getting in return? And if you could shake hands on Nottingham Forest coming up, because at least there's a little bit of something there. But the idea of like we lose Everton, but we gain
Huddersfield back.
Yeah, we go Blackburn, whatever. Give a shit.
But for banter, it would be different class, wouldn't it?
There would be something going on there, big time. Like Southampton, Man City. I'm looking at this quarter final draw, and Liverpool's likelihood of lifting this cup. It hinges massively on, again, Chelsea under siege, playing away from home with no fan, none of their fans in the ground, and Southampton at home hosting Manchester City. Southampton have got a very good record against Pep Guardiola. I would back both Chelsea and City to come through this, but like, and talk about opening the field up, Dan, if either one of those teams goes out, then that really, genuinely, you've got to feel like Liverpool have got one hand on whatever they're looking to achieve.
Yeah, 100%. I think the perfect scenario is obviously both of them go, but we're probably living in a slight dream world at that stage. But yeah, if one of them goes, then I'm more than happy with that. And I think I'd rather it was City that went, if I'm being honest. And that obviously pretty self-explanatory, given they're a better team than Chelsea. But I just think there's also a more realistic prospect of that, because Southampton, like you say, have got a really impressive record against them, so every chance.
As far as the only thing about City and wanting them in the final, if we were to get that far and they to get that far, is the bargaining tool of how I bargain out, like, they can have that if we can have this, I've got this horrible feeling that if we don't end up with that mega City month, where we get them in the quarters of the Champions League, the semis of the FA Cup, and we've got them to play in the league, that we end up with them in the FA Cup final and the Champions League final and a last day shootout for the title, which would be one of the most horrendously unbearable things ever. So, yeah, it would be nice if Southampton could just take them off the board for us and let us worry about... Let us worry about what else is standing. But yeah, we're the last game on the weekend, so we'll know who are, if again, not to yada yada Forest here, if we're able to get past Forest. I don't know when the draw is for this. Often it's done before the last game.
Could be at the end of the last game on Saturday.
Or it could be between
Sunday lunchtime.
Because Southampton City's 3 o'clock on the Sunday. It could be after that one and before our Or it could just be after our game. We'll know what the board looks like by the time we do get round to our game on that one. Absolutely amazing. I want to let you know that Jurgen Klopp's press conference will be available on our YouTube channel and on your podcasting services through Red Men. As well, we've got pre and post match from Klopp every single game between now and the end of the season and beyond as well. So if you want to hear what he said, rather than just reading the quotes and then getting them taken out of context by banter social media accounts, watch and listen to what the manager's got to say for yourself. They're available now for free on, again, YouTube and podcasting apps as well. I'm just going to double check we haven't got any more comments and all that coming in, and then I want to get some score predictions. No, score predictions. Steve, what do you think?
3-0. Liverpool.
3-0 Liverpool. Nottingham Forest to be spirited, well at it for 20 minutes, half an hour. We score, their eye turns elsewhere.
I have got a feeling this is going to be utterly horrendous. Absolutely horrible, nightmare of a watch, but we will win 2-1, but it will be really hard work. It could go either way, perfectly honest, because it should go the way you put it. Now, they again, big spirited response. Maybe they rock Liverpool a little for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, maybe a half, and then we just figure them out and go and put them to bed. But I do have this feeling of, because of the... I've got too many years of Liverpool doing it really hard, and maybe that's not fair for me to put that on this current Liverpool team. But there is a little sense I've got of... It's been a big old run since we came from that last international break, and we've achieved everything we want to achieve. And this is just that one where if we get the balance slightly wrong in the 11, or it takes us a little while to get up to speed, or we maybe just go slightly too weak and we get caught flat-footed by Forest, I don't think they can win. But I think they can, with the atmosphere and all that kind of stuff, it could be a bit of a bear pit, and we've got to really fight our way out there. But I really hope I'm wrong. I really hope we absolutely smack them everywhere. Let us know your score predictions in the comments. Let us know your starting 11 predictions. The 11 prediction show will be going out later on Thursday afternoon, so make sure you check that out, or after the fact again on YouTube or on podcasting services. If you want more from us, don't forget to check out Red Men Plus, which is our Liverpool streaming service. It's sort of a cross between a mini Scouts Netflix and Patreon. So if you want to support what we do, then become a member. We reward you with tons of extra content. And if you become a Club Legend here, you get free merchandise, you get access to the Club Legend Discord chat and all that good stuff as well. Yes, thank you so much, gents. That was an absolute pleasure. The watch-along will be on Sunday evening as well, so check out me and Chris on that one. And don't forget to download the Ultimate Fan app as well. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.